Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, April 29th, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, here every day on LibertyRadioLive.com. And you can listen to me Pacific time every day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. My first hour guest is a Bible-believing pastor named Tony Alamo. He makes his monthly appearance on the show every month to update us on how his struggle to warn people of the Vatican. He's been doing it for 40 years, folks. And it's an amazing story. And he's not afraid to preach from the pulpit the real truth behind the Vatican. And I wanted to get his comments regarding the recent papal visit, but let me just introduce you to this question we're going to be trying to answer today. Does papal Rome, with its leader Benedict XVI, who served as Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was the head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which is a fancy name for the Office of Inquisition. And the question I want to put forth today, while we talk to Pastor Alamo about the Pope's visit, do they have a papal inquisition plan for this country? Now, that's really not such a preposterous supposition. Now, the head of the Office of Inquisition is the first time it's ever been in America. He's right in San Francisco. Archbishop William Lovata is the head of the Office of Inquisition in San Francisco. Now, very interestingly enough, if you ask one of the most recent genocides the Vatican has been involved with that have been covered up, there's a lawsuit in San Francisco, Alperin v. Vatican Bank. I've covered it on this show more than anyone in this country, and no one seems in the media to want to touch it. But anyway, the Vatican admitted to being involved in a genocide of over 800,000 Serbs, Jews, and Romas in the early 40s, backed by the Vatican, the Franciscan Order, and it was condoned by the Vatican. They admitted it in open court. Guess what? But they said it was justified under international law. One last thing. Before we get to Pastor Alamo, let me just tell you something here. Now, the Pope, when he went to the United Nations, has a new name for sovereignty and nationalism. He said to the United Nations that the Pope said that responsibility to protect is the new name for sovereignty, and not only a right, but above all, the responsibility of papal Rome and our government to protect us and to promote what we do in our daily lives. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Alamo? The guy is really telling us what he's going to do. Right. Incredible, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's just really sad, you know, how the people here in the United States and all over the world are so drugged up by the drugs that they brought in the Vatican through President Clinton, and it's got everybody so far up in the twilight zone that people don't even know what's happening to them. They have been programmed so much to not listen to the Bible. They try to make it look like it's old, but it's before. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you know, I say that the people of the United States that are Christians should speak up, but they're like scared rabbits. And that's very appalling to the Lord. That's why he said that those the people that are fearful and of what's going on to speak out, and fearful and disbelieving the word of God, shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. To the U.S. government agents, they're not U.S. government agents. What they're doing is they're condoning the Roman Catholic homosexual the homosexual things, all the homosexuals, and they're taking people that want to be married and putting them into prison. Not only that, they're child molesters. Little children, 4, 5, 6, or 7 years old. Ratzinger comes in and says, well, you know, we're going to have to do something about that. And he talks, you know, in such a little weak voice. They say, if you've ever studied the art of war.
With their blessings.
What's that?
I said they're always giving these fake blessings, you know, and acting as if they're on the side of good and promoting welfare for our country and bringing unity. And in fact, when Bush, he was interviewed and they asked, he was asked, when you look into the Pope's eyes, what do you see? And he says, God. Can you believe that?
Yeah, his God, Satan.
Exactly.
The Pope's
and
God.
It should be noted. Exactly.
That?
And explain. You know, explain to us, we're going to get to the Pope's visit and some of the things that occurred, which were quite interesting. Yeah, I wanted to get your take on that, but tell us how you got started, because you've been preaching against the Vatican for over 40 years. And tell us exactly, if the best you can, how this, what progress you've made, and how are you greeted by other Protestant Baptist pastors who will never touch this subject? How do they view you? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I view them as being the Baptists the same as the Catholics. When you see Billy Graham going somewhere to speak, all you see there are Baptists and Catholics. Those are the only ones who go there. First of all, it's because the Baptists believe once saved, always saved. In other words, you can still commit murder every day and commit all kinds of different crimes that are crimes to God, and then the Catholics say just light a few candles. If you murdered somebody today, you could just light a few candles, say a few Hail Marys, and then you'll say a few, and then you're going to be okay, so you go out and murder again today. The Baptists say the very same things. And, you know, if people don't equate that once saved, always saved,
are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I am here. There was just a little disturbance in the room here. Well,
okay.
Of course, the people of this world are gone. And, you know, anytime you see a church that is united, United Baptist Church, that means they united with the Catholics, the United Presbyterians, united. All the churches view me as being, they say, well, we like what you're saying and everything, but we're just so afraid. Or a pastor the other day told me, when I was talking with him on the phone, he says, keep up the good work, you know, but my work is in Mexico, and, you know, most of them are Catholic over there. And if, you know, so I can't come out that strong, because he's fearful and unbelieving. And the Bible says they're going to the lake of fire. People are just seeing all these children, hundreds of thousands of children that have been molested by this homosexual child molesting church. And they don't say one thing about it, but you see them. You know, the Bible says that young women are supposed to marry. And now that's become a dirty word. Homosexuality is okay, but marrying is a filthy word today. And what they've done is they're making the name church to be very bad. But it's all right. They want you to go into the society, today's society. They say they won't even let them go into that society. This society, the Lord commands us to separate ourselves from society, from the filth of this world. I mean, what in society has to do with God? Everything is filthy out there and is totally against God. And so we all separate ourselves from society. We're consecrated. The Bible says that we're supposed to consecrate ourselves. And naturally, people that are not really of the Lord, they look down at Christians as though there's something that need to be destroyed, or that they should separate the children from the parents. And that when the government gets to saying that, you know, your children don't belong to you, they belong to us, that's communism. Anytime the government gets stronger than the people in the government, they are living under communism. And that's what you're seeing on TV today. And Ratzinger, when he came into the United States, was saying, we're going to get rid of, instead of prosecute all those homosexuals and child molesters, he's stating that we're going to see what we can do about it, and we're going to get rid of all of them. How are we going to get rid of the homosexuals when he himself is a homosexual? And a child molester,
exactly.
I might add.
And it's interesting to note there is another federal lawsuit, I believe, going on in Mississippi right now that is linking the Vatican hierarchy to not only condoning this pedophilia outbreak in the church, but actually organizing it and fostering this to destroy themselves in the end, to create this one world religion. And it's an interesting case, and no one speaks about it, but he comes here, and the president of our own country, for the first time in history, meets a foreign head of state on the tarmac. Usually, they go to the White House, but he comes bowing down to this man, and he says things like, Bush said, because he's a really important figure, one who speaks for 60 million people in this country, he comes not as a politician, he comes as a man of faith. And he goes on, and it's all lies. Here as a politician. He's here to give his orders to what's going to happen to this new world order in our country. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I've been telling people that for years now, how that Bush has built monuments unto the Pope. I mean, this is supposed to be a sovereign nation, one that is one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all, not a government that takes away the liberty of the people who want to believe in God and have, according to the U.S. Constitution, which I told you, so many people before, that there is no U.S. Constitution anymore. The Vatican says to hell with the U.S. Constitution. In other words, to hell with the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to do the things that you want to do, you know, to own your own children, to own your own house. Nobody owns their own house today because if you try not to pay the rent or your people, they're causing a recession, they send all the industry out of the United States. This is all being done from the Vatican, and when he comes in, he is not talking strong, he talks, but you know, we're going to try to straighten things out. And then, if people don't believe that I said that he's the head of the United Nations, why are the doors open to him? He spoke at the UN and was showed his little phony act there and told them. Beg your pardon?
No, I said you're absolutely right. And another thing that's interesting, right after he left, President Bush went on a TV station in Boston, and this didn't get out over the internet, but it did get into the ears of a number of my listeners who sent me what he said. And just after the Pope left, he said, the final stages and the implementation of the North American Union, which of course will eliminate our borders with Canada and Mexico, is underway and will be completed, the first stages, when the newly elected takes office. So they have that planned. And I've got a quote, and if you don't think the Pope is going to control that, here's a quote that I want to read to you to get your comments from the UN ambassador from Lebanon and former president of the General Assembly, UN Charles Malik, said this about the European Union, which the North American Union is going to be a copy of it. He says this, the only hope for this Western world is an alliance between the Roman Catholic Church, which is the most commonly influential, controlling, unifying element in Europe, and the Western Orthodox Church. The only hope for the Western world lies then in a united Europe under the control of the Pope. Unquote. So there you go.
Right. That's
Isn't that amazing?
That's what they want, is a dictatorship. And they are showing that right now. Like Obama is telling people, you know, that I sat in that ministry for so many years, and so he doesn't know that his pastor has been teaching him that Farrakhan is the greatest voice and the strongest voice today. This is the Muslim leader that wants to kill every white person. And they're voting for him because they're so insane, the people of this world. they let him get up there, and he's stuttering and stammering around even more than Bush does, trying to explain that away. And he's saying that what I want to do is lead this nation, of course, under the Pope. I want to lead it to we're all one. In other words, there's no separation between Christians and Catholics and Muslims and Jews and everything, that we're all going to have to fall under one Pope, and that's it. That's exactly what it is. From every angle, you can see it happening, that the Pope is going to be the dictator.
Yep, and they're setting it up. I mean, you can even hear his words at the United Nations. He says the new words for sovereignty are sovereignty and independence are, we will protect you, the United Nations.
Yeah, but
we
know how that protect us from them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and who's going to protect us from all these people? This Nancy Grace on TV, who obviously doesn't know the Bible. And the media doesn't know anything about the Bible, and they have become the judge, jury, and executioner of everyone that they want to put the hit on. They just give it to Nancy Grace, you know, and she'll straighten everybody out. Whoever she says is guilty is guilty, and they got all these different hags, you know, that are agreeing with her, and all these different government agents and so on and so forth. It's just all. They've got everybody in place, people that don't know the Bible, they don't care about the Bible, but they're going to care about it when they stand before the Lord. So,
you know, and there's two interesting things here that I want to mention. Many people don't know that you were a Hollywood record promoter, very successful before you were saved some 40 years ago. And we all know that Hollywood is in the hands of the Pope. And I just wondered your thoughts, because in 2009, I checked this out, and there's a trailer even up on the internet. Tom Hanks and Ron Howard, along with the Jesuits and the Vatican, are making a movie called Angels and Demons, wherein the movie will tell us, falsely I might add, that the Illuminati, these secret societies, which we've shown and proven the Jesuits control Freemasonry in these secret societies, they're going to try and twist it and say that the Vatican, the good Vatican and the good priests are fighting this evil, which will be considered Jews and Illuminati who have infiltrated the Vatican. And you, as a former Jew, I thought you and of Hollywood might be interested in this story, and I just wanted to get your comments, but it just shows you the immense money and power and how they use that town for Satan's, it's Satan's playground, isn't it?
Yeah, especially, well, first of all, I'm not a former Jew. I am a completed Jew. My nationality, see, the Jews are both a nationality, and you can't change your nationality. I'm an Israelite, a Jew. And when I accepted the world's greatest Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ, then I became what you call a completed Jew. And that's
what... I misspoke, but thanks for clearing that up.
What was that?
I misspoke, but thanks for clearing that up. And let's get back to this Angels and Demons movie. What you see what they're trying to do, just twist everything around, and they use some of our wealthy actors and producers to work with them. They, in fact, met with the Jesuits, along with Rupert Murdoch and Dan Brown, last May. To get the things organized, the finances together, and the movie's now in production, I think, starting in June, and will be out in 2009. But this is what we're up against.
Right.
This and,
is a,
go ahead.
This is a Vatican-controlled motion picture. There's so many of them out that have actually brain damaged. I don't call it brainwashing. It brain damages people to think that Catholics are Christians, and they're the Christians' worst enemy. You saw how they murdered the people over at Waco, and also all for the hundreds of years, thousands of years, they've been murdering people. Everything that that they've done is showing how that they murder people, and how they're now taking ripping the children out of the arms of those people over in Texas. That right there just tells you that those people are obeying God's word. But God said that a woman is able to marry at puberty. Now, this you say this to the general public and they want to strangle you, they want to kill you, they want to, you know, beat you into the earth. But that's what the Bible says, and the Bible states that Abraham, Isaac, okay, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, 10 years old. And you go back about 50 years ago, everybody was getting married at 14, 15, and 16 years old because they had reached puberty and they were not brain damaged like the people, the children today are. And they're still playing with Barbie dolls, the kids today that are 14 and 15. Which are really not children. If they reach puberty, they are allowed to marry. So let the young women marry. The young women is, you know, when a woman hits 18 years old, she's almost in midlife. And so that's not the young women. And they're saying that polygamy is wrong. When the Bible is loaded with polygamists, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, everybody is, every man in this country is a polygamist. They're called, I call them serial polygamists. They get married to one woman, then they divorce, and then they marry and get divorced, and they marry. So they get married to many women, and then some of them that are not even marrying, they're polygamists because they go out with one woman after the other, and then if the woman gets pregnant, they send them to abortion parlors, which are actual murder parlors, where they say it's all right to murder these little unborn children. First of all, they should abstain from fornication and wait until they're married because no fornicator or shall enter the kingdom of heaven or adulterer. But nobody knows the Bible, and so nobody, they're just running crazy. It's like we're living in a world of crazy people, insane people, because the only common sense in this whole world, it's what God says. He tells you not to commit adultery, not to commit fornication, not to be a drunkard, not to steal, not to murder. And the first commandment is to love the Lord your God. And if he's not your God, you're not going to make it into heaven. You're going straight into hell. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, not just a little piece of it, all your soul, all of it, all your mind and all your strength. And that's how I stay sane in this world, is I keep my mind on heaven and on the Lord. There isn't anything in this world worth selling your soul for or giving up in this world. And people just hate that. And the other churches hate it too because they don't believe the Bible. They don't even know the Bible. The Vatican doesn't know the Bible. They're telling people, you know, that you should pray to Mary. Mary's dead. She doesn't hear you. Christ raised from the dead, and he's the only mediator to the throne of God, to God, and he's the only one who shed his blood that our sins could be completely forgiven no matter how many we committed. But after we are saved, then we are under the command of him to take up the cross and follow him in his, let him do his works in and through you. And all these other churches are saying, no, Christ did it all. You don't have to do anything. You can't do anything to get saved, but you certainly can do something after you're saved. It's a commandment to take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. In other words, do the works that I did. And he said, even greater works will you do than I did. And so here, but we're never, like, in other words, a lot of people also are turning Christians in. The Bible says that they would turn on each other in these last days, that they would forsake one another, they would turn each other in. There wasn't one person in the whole Bible, in the Christian Bible, that stated that Jesus ever turned anybody into the secular authorities. And it also states that the only one that ever did that was Judas Iscariot. So everybody is putting themselves in the same position as Judas Iscariot if they're turning Christians in. And there's a lot of people that are having a ball. They think they're having a ball doing it, but they're not going to want to stand in the same shoes as Judas Iscariot because Christ lives in true born-again Christians. Not in Catholics, but in true born-again Christians. Not in Baptists because they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit entering into people. So to me, they're both one and the same. And, you know, people are saying that they don't know the scriptures, and then they're actually looking down. You asked what you... I thought that people thought about people like myself that are speaking out. Well, they just think I'm crazy or something because, God, doesn't he know that they're going to kill him? I could care less, because the minute that the spirit goes out of my body, I'll be in heaven. But where do those people think they're going to be? They're going to be in hell because they know the truth, but they don't obey the truth at all. Not even
a little bit. Because I always marvel at over the when I look at your ministry that's grown over these 40 years, how you've told the truth about the Vatican and many other things, locked horns with even Clinton and the rest of those boys who work with them, and survived it all through countless lawsuits, countless harassment tactics, and I always marvel at what keeps you going.
Well, it's the Lord.
But it appears that you should be out for the 10 count by now, according to the leaders of our country and the leaders of our religious, the so-called religious world, in quotes. But what has kept you going through the years?
Well, when the Holy Spirit entered into me, when Jesus, his Father, Father God, and the Holy Spirit entered into me, I felt a strength that you can't even believe in, and a fearlessness. And that's why these supposed to be Christians or people that claim to be Christians, they don't have any guts. They don't have a gut on their body or in their body. But what keeps me going is I keep my mind, my whole mind, heart, and soul on the Lord and on heaven. This is the way that the Lord says that we become overcomers. Because we know that we are little lambs among wolves on this earth, and that we're just pilgrims passing through, and we're not to worry, not to worry, but we're to keep our mind on the tremendous rewards that we receive, which is a good, more than good, stable living on this earth, and a more than good eternity in the kingdom of heaven, where everything, you never grow old. You look like you're about 17 years old, only better than you looked when you were 17. You're never going to die. You don't have to worry about the Muslims, the Catholics, or the Antichrist, any of these people, the beast, these government people that come hunting for you because you you believe one way, or you don't believe in the President of the United States because he worships the Pope, and you don't. We won't have any Pope there, that's for sure, and there won't be any little monkeys like Bush or Clinton there that think they're so powerful. They may take, Jesus said, I don't fear him who can take your life, because that's all he can take from you, but fear him, which he's talking about God now. Fear him who can take your life and sling your soul into the fiery pits of hell. I've seen hell. I've seen heaven, and Jesus appeared in front of me. Absolutely, my eyes wide open. I was wide awake, and it was in a dark room, and there was like a stick of vapor in the room. It appeared with a noise, and all of a sudden, it turned into a oval-shaped mirror, and Christ was sitting right in that mirror. And I thought he was taking me, and I thought I'd be afraid, but I just said, Lord, I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And he said, not now. Not now. And he started talking to me, and it was like a radio being turned off and on, off and on. And he
Mr. Lamo,
yes.
That thought, we're going to come back in 3 minutes, okay? We'll take a three-minute break and be back with Pastor Tony Lamo on the Investigative Journal. Righty, we are back for another half hour with Tony Alamo, Pastor Tony Alamo. And you can read about his ministry at alamoministries.com. Also, you can get a copy of this show. You can listen to this show at another time on Liberty Radio Live. Then it goes on my website in about 7 days. And also, you can probably, I will get a copy to Pastor Alamo so you can go to his website and listen. And I recommend you do that because we're listening to a man who's been fighting this fight against the Vatican long before I was even aware of it, and I respect him a lot for sticking to his message and not being afraid to get on the pulpit and tell the truth, not only about what the Bible says about Papal Rome being the Antichrist, but the real truth about what's happening in our country. And let me give you the sad state of affairs we're in, Pastor Alamo, and I wanted to get your comment about this unity under the Catholic Church we're seeing in this country. But in a small town I live in, I went to the newspaper and I said, you know, you might be interested in my views on what the papal visit was. And so they read the story I wanted to give them, and they refused to print it, stating that it would upset. They said, look over in that church over here, that big Catholic church, and see all those people on Sunday? They won't buy our paper anymore. I can't print the story. So then I went to look for a pastor in town who might be, who I can, you know, people told me the most liberal pastor in one of these supposed Christian churches. And I went in and I said, you know, after the sermon, after the service, I went up to him and I said, you know all this stuff about the Vatican? He says, you know, I've heard about it and I know some things. I said, well, why don't you do a sermon on the Antichrist and do a sermon about what these guys are doing in our country? Well, I can't do that. We have too many, you know what, I would be thrown out of this town. And I can't talk against them like that. And I'm just sitting, and then he had the audacity to then tell me that he supported the war in Iraq. And I just walked right out. I said, see you later. But that's what we're up against, Pastor Alamo.
All right. Well, the Bible tells us that in the last days, there'd be a great falling away from believing the Lord. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're not to believe that the Lord is coming back again until we see this big falling away. So that which looks like a huge revival in the world is nothing more than the great falling away. Those people actually believe that they're Christians because the Lord stated later on in that chapter that because they don't follow what he says in his word, that he will send them strong delusions. In other words, he'll make them to believe a lie. And that's what is going on right now, is that he has made them to believe a lie, and that's the great falling away. A lot of the Christians back there thought that Jesus was coming back to earth very soon. And Paul wrote them a letter because they thought, God, all is over because we never saw the coming back of the Lord, and we're all going to hell. And Paul cautioned them, don't worry about it. He says, we're not going to see the coming of the Lord until first there's a large falling away from the church. Now, you can go to almost any church in the world, and they're either fearful, or they are so afraid they're going to get run out of town, or they're going to be afraid that they won't have a radio program any longer, or they'll be afraid that they will kill them or get a mob after them. And they will. You know, I had a record on the charts. I not only was a record promoter, I promoted, they asked me to promote the entire Democratic Party. Walter Winchell and Mayor Yorty of Los Angeles and Ted Chirac and a lot of other people came to me wanting me to do that and all kinds of different things. And I wasn't interested, and my wife told me, don't do it, you know. They wanted to me also to expose the fact that Sirhan did not kill Bobby Kennedy. And I said, well, Roosevelt Greer, who tackled Sirhan, he's a friend of mine.
And he's an ex-football player, right?
Yeah, with the L.A. Rams. Yeah, I had him over before I was saved. I was kind of a party type guy, and he was at one of my parties with H.B. Barnum and Sonny James and a whole bunch of other people. Sonny Bono was there. I did the promotion for Sonny Bono and Sonny and Cher.
And you think they killed him?
What's that?
You think they killed Sonny Bono?
I haven't got the slightest idea. I just heard, you know, his wife, I met the new wife that he had, she's about a congressman or senator or something, and I was in their hotel room, and I was giving them some jackets that I designed that they wanted, and they showed me their little new baby called Cesare. This is going back some, and he just seemed happy as a lark. He was in New York for a tribute to one of the record producers. And I said, where is he? He's in the nut house. I said, did you do a thing for him? Yeah, okay. So anyway, it was Phil Spector. And so that's, I don't know whether he was murdered or not. They just said he ran into a tree while he was skiing. And that's all I never knew went any deeper with that. Because they wouldn't be against Sonny. Sonny was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't know. There might be something behind the scenes. But anyway, let's get off back to what you were talking about. You were talking before we broke in with Sonny Bono regarding when you were in Hollywood and they wanted you to promote the Democratic Convention, and Sirhan didn't kill Kennedy, and Roosevelt Greer was the one who tackled him, and you know him. So go ahead, continue. You were making a point.
It was, so my wife told me don't do it because, you know, why should we get our nose into this secular business? And I thought, really, I would have loved to have done it. And then Ted Chirac, I think, is the only one that's still alive of the bunch, and I've met up with him here in Hollywood. I'm in Los Angeles right now. And
you have a ministry in Santa Clarita near there, right?
Yes. We have a couple hundred acres there on Sierra Highway. And but I also was telling you about how I saw Jesus, you know, in the room, and he was like, I thought he was talking to me. He was talking, but I couldn't hear him because it was going off and on. And he was showing me that you're not reading the Bible enough. He says, you're going to really have to know everything that's in the Bible so that you can instruct hundreds of millions of people, even billions of people, just before I come back to you. Yeah, and he said it was like urgent, you know. I like you, but you're going to have to learn the Bible. Because I was spending most of my time just building places for the people at the church, and it was just so beautiful being saved, and I just didn't I never knew how urgent it was to know the Word of God, because people that don't know it are going to spend eternity in hell. And people don't say, oh, how could God send a soul to hell? Because he said he would. He's not like you or I. Now I'm like him, but, I mean, in other words, I believe everything he says, is what I mean. And I like to do everything that he wants me to do. But, I did promotions for, I mean, they wanted me not just for the convention, they wanted me to promote the entire, Democratic Party for everything that they do. They admired the wisdom and the understanding I have of what was going on in the world. But one thing I didn't know about at that time was politics. I never was a political type person. When I found out about it, I knew why I wasn't interested. I'm not interested at all, except now to know what they're doing so I can expose them.
Yes, good point. And I know you even locked horns with Clinton when he was governor and president. What do you think of Hillary? Do you know her at all?
Well, you know, I mean, if I was to be honest, I would say I heard she's a part-time lesbian, part-time, you know, this is very controversial right now. And I think that she's the same as her husband, that she's a liar. Like, she's under fire, you know, from people. And just and they laugh about it. They just think it's okay to have a president that is a liar. But you know, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't have any ungodly people ruling over us because they don't have good judgment. They don't have any judgment at all. Hillary and that Obama, they don't have any scruples. They don't have any wisdom, knowledge, or understanding. Clinton doesn't have any. The first time I met Clinton was when he walked into, I had a restaurant. Sue and I had a restaurant, big restaurant. where all the people from football games over in Alma, Arkansas, they'd come from Fayetteville down there to eat because the food was superb. And I started booking Dolly Parton into the restaurant, and she sang there free of charge for 2 days, two shows every day, because she wanted me to do some clothing. I've done clothing for most of the people in show business, for especially country, western, rock and roll, even Sinatra and Mrs. Douglas MacArthur and Jacqueline Onassis. They all came into the store with that guy from Russia, the ballet guy, and the Beatles, and for Michael Jackson. I've done clothes for just about every Paul Newman, just about everybody in show business that is anybody, Lucille Ball, Frank Sinatra. And so this is where I met so many of those people there. And
these are some of the same people that when you were saved in Hollywood couldn't believe that you would leave this lucrative profession and start preaching the word of God on Sunset Strip and trying to help people on the streets. And they literally called you crazy. They thought you were insane, didn't they?
And I thought people were crazy, too, for serving the Lord. I used to watch those people from the Salvation Army. Of course, they have fallen away from the Lord, but now they just mainly have these places where people go to halfway houses and stuff. But I used to see them running in and out of these basement places in New York, and I was driving a new Eldorado Barone Brooks Cadillac, and brand new, and I'd look at them, and I'd be going to Jilly's and Basin Street East, which is closed now, Copacabana. I thought, God, these people are never going to know what it's like to live high on the hog like I am. And then all of a sudden, when the Lord spoke to me in that office and shut my ears off and talked to my body, I knew then that I was this idiot and that they were right, of all things. And they looked so kooky to me back then, but they were not kooky at all. I mean, they're kooky for falling away from the Lord. Worse than that, they're damning their own souls. But the Lord scared me. I mean, the Bible says that people will not serve God unless they fear him. He said that to Moses, and so he had this big mountain, and it went on fire, and trumpets were sounding, and smoke was billowing up, and there was a huge earthquake. And the voice of God talked to the entire nation of Israel, which was around 3 million. So he said the Ten Commandments audibly so everybody in the whole nation could hear him. And that looks so foolish to people that don't know God, but that's what he did to me. Only he did it in me while there were a bunch of people watching. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't know what was going on with me. My ears were shut off, but I could hear through my whole body. I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I said, God threatens people? And I didn't believe it. But later on when I read the Bible, he threatened every one of the prophets, every one of them, even Moses. And he threatens the children in the New Testament. Some people say, well, that was, people that don't know the Bible say, well, that was the Old Testament. But they should read the Bible because it's the only thing that's going to get them into heaven. And, you know, we all think they're crazy. I was as bad as anyone else. I used to just mock at people when they were preaching on the street and everything. But then I found out that I was dead wrong. And I'm so glad that the Lord put his fear in me, because I could feel him pulling the breath in and out of me so that I could know that he does have the power over that one breath in our body. The Lord says, cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath. For how lightly is he to be accounted? That's why I really don't pay any attention to the Pope. I mean, I just preach the gospel and I tell him what's going on so that he can stand before the judgment bar of God without any excuse. He has been told. President Clinton has been told. So I was talking about, you know, Clinton coming into our restaurant one night in Alma, and he wanted to know if I'd have a little dinner or a little piece of pie or something with him, and so I did. I didn't realize how tall he was. The guy is like a monster. And so we sat down, and he says, hey, Tony, do you think you could introduce me to Dolly Parton? He wrote this up in his book. There's two pages about that in my book. And I says, I'll go back.
You didn't know he was a womanizer then, did you?
No, I had no idea. In his book, he said his wife was with him. But that was a lie. He was there solo, all by himself. And so I went back and I asked Dolly, hey, the governor's out there. He wants to say he wants to meet you. I said, okay. She says, oh, I don't care. Bring him back, you know. And so I brought him back there, and they took a picture, and that was it. I don't know if he sounded on her or not, but, you know, he remarked about this whole scene in his book. Then he said in the book that I looked like Roy Orbison on speed.
In his book, he said that about?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that my wife was a pretty good preacher, and I was a fairly good promoter, and that when I, he says that when she died, I didn't have anything else to promote. Oh, God. Well, I didn't promote her. She promoted me. She put a face on me. If I wouldn't have... I didn't know anything about the gospel. She was saved 25 years before me, and she taught me about all the different phony Christian churches or cults. And, you know, the only real major cult in the world is the Vatican. And their idea is to just bring all kinds of cults into the United States. They brought Sung Myung Moon into the United States, the Department of Labor, and they... let Hare Krishna and all these phony cults get around us because we were doing a big job. And they started mixing us up with them. And there was a place people called the Children of God. They were pot smokers, and they believed in free sex and without any condemnation. And no condemnation for being drunk on speed or pot or uppers, downers, inners, outers, booze, whatever. And there is condemnation. No drunkard should have no kind of drunkard. Sniffing glue, gas, chewing, morning glory seeds, any of these things. We didn't know anything about that, but in the ministry we found out because we were the ones that had the hippie ministry. And it was in the 1964, the latter part of it. That's when the Lord visited me in that office. And so people just thought, oh, they're just the hippie ministry. No, we've witnessed to everybody in the world. I mean, everybody, most of the people in the world, especially the government, they listen to everything. They're listening to this broadcast right now. And the government listens to every one of my broadcasts. And they know I'm not afraid. A couple of the big FBI guys came in to... when they had me in jail for the gospel, I won the case. And they called me down from my cell into a cell downstairs. And these guys were about 6.5 to 7 feet tall. And I'm only about 5 foot, 9.5 or 10. And they called me down on some meat deal. One of the boys in the church was selling meat, and they said they wanted to find out about it from me. So I went down there, and I... said, okay, what about meat? I don't know anything about meat. And they both smiled at me, and they says, we just wanted to meet you, man. We just wanted to shake your hand. We admire your tenacity.
Huh.
I says, oh, okay. So I shook hands with them, and I says, can I go now? I thought after that they were going to beat the tar out of me. But they didn't. They really were sincere.
Yeah, and I know when you locked horns with Clinton and you wouldn't support him, basically they tried to put you, they tried to basically kill you. And we had John Peeler, the former FBI agent who was given that assignment, and basically refused, and then he left the FBI telling the truth about what they wanted to do to you. First they were going to plant guns, and then they were going to try to prove all these different things, and finally... Peeler said that you were crystal clear. You couldn't find anything to get you on, so they had to trump up a bogus income tax charge, which they even lied during that lawsuit, so you ended up spending some time in the federal prison. But it's amazing when you listen to Peeler, because you were his last assignment, and then he left the FBI, couldn't do it any longer, couldn't work these covert operations, and it actually apologized to you, told you what they tried to do to you, and then we had shared a discussion on one of our past shows to show you to the extent this government, along with the Vatican, will go to put people like you, to shut people like you up who are preaching the Bible. Amazing story. Go ahead.
Well, this Joseph Taliaferro, he was with the FBI and many others that infiltrated our church, and what happened? They were saved. They knew. And they wrote up a whole thing years before John Peeler did. And I have that piece of literature, Scott Gregory and Joseph Taliaferro and other people that were with the government that went in to try to find something wrong with us. And they wound up getting saved. They said, you people are the greatest. You're the real thing, the real deal. You're not like one of the cults that the government brought into the country. And so, I mean, it's just, if people come to our church, if you got an open heart, an open mind, and you receive the gospel as the truth and everything else in this world is a lie, you're going to get saved. I don't care if you're government and all that. Like, that's what happens. People do not a spiritual realm. Antichrist, evil spirits, and so people estimate God. Everything that you see was made by something that you can't see. God made everything out of atoms and molecules and things like that, which you can't see. And so if he did that, and it's for sure he did, it's amazing that people could underestimate the spiritual realm, that they could just forget about it or laugh about it. I used to do that. I mean, so I'm not, I know that I'm not the only one, and I don't have respect for that underestimate the spiritual realm, but I do everything in my power to try to bring the spiritual realm home into their bodies so that they can have the realization of it as I do, so that they cannot have to go to hell and the lake of fire. And it's real. I mean, I was one of the top salespeople in the world. And even when I was 14 years old, they did a test on me, and they said that I was the best if I was selling in the country. But, it's very hard to sell real stuff. That people will buy all kinds of creams and medicines and all kinds of false things. They'll buy the Catholic cult doctrine and all kinds of things. But to tell people the truth, the devil has so implanted into people's brains the just fallacy so strong that it's hard to sell reality. Yes.
No, Pastor, right. We're running out of time here, and I wanted to get in your website. That's alamoministries.com if you want to read about where your ministries are located, other stories that you've written, and your message. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to take your advice and spend a little bit more time reading the Bible, and I will do that. I do it, but not enough. I'm always sitting on the radio or doing things, but I think you're absolutely right, that this is the time for people to start looking for the Word of God and protect ourselves from what's going to happen in this country. And I believe there's an inquisition that the Vatican will plan. And your final thoughts here, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no other explanation for what's going on than that which is in the Bible.
Thanks a lot, Pastor Alamo. We will, of course, have you on again. Have a good weekend, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Pastor Tony.